off, but I'll do my best. So I did notice the that's a little warm in here. Time and I was thinking I actually wish this was coffee because I hope whoever this next preacher is can keep me awake. And so I'll do my best. I am gonna fast forward this a little bit, just reading my audience, where how everybody's doing, but I do want to hit some high points. Super, super great topic, super great verse. Titus chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Titus 1, 15 and 16. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do praise your great name. We are so thankful, Lord, for your Holy Spirit whom you've given to us. We're appreciative to live, Lord, under the new covenant where you do cleanse us from the inside out, where those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are indeed satisfied. So thankful for the hope, the life, the purity, the holiness, Lord, under this new covenant. I ask that you be with me this evening as I preach your word, that it would be in accordance with the truth of your word, and that each of us, Lord, would continue to press on to be pure as you are pure. I ask this all through Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know, this verse is actually, it's great. The topic that I get, this verse is convicting. Whenever I see words like all or nothing, it makes me stop and say, okay, Wilson, how you doing? All. To the pure, all things are pure. To him who is defiled, nothing is pure. So there's a convicting aspect of this. I want to make sure that I am pure so that all things are pure to me. But it's also incredibly inspiring to me. This is where God is going with the new covenant. I think about my conversations with you all here, and one of the things I really appreciate, there is a commonality, not only in a desire for truth, but a desire for holiness, a desire for victory, a desire to be one who overcomes, a desire to be changed into the very likeness of Jesus Christ. These are people God's looking for. And we've heard it said, God's looking for truth seekers, and he is. Another way, though, that I think about is God is looking for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. If you don't want to be holy, Christianity is not for you. If you don't want to be righteous, Christianity is not for you. Not real Christianity. Go, you can do the fake whatever. But if you, paying back for a second, even non-Christians, when they... There's a guy I've been studying with. He told me a number of months ago he was agnostic. But even when he was agnostic, he told me, I think of Jesus as the perfect role model. Like, who wouldn't want to be like him? Maybe there's some hope for this guy. And he's definitely moved to where now he believes the word of God. Just gotta keep him moving forward. But it's awesome to think about that. There's a guy I studied with in Billings, him and his stepdad. And when I was hitting stuff on salvation, one of the things, his brain started to shut down when I talked about conditions. He didn't like conditions for salvation, just some of his background. As soon as he heard that word, he started shutting down. But in this, within the next week or two, this conversation came up like, well, nobody's perfect, nobody's ever. And I was like, whoa, I understand what you're saying, but I want you to think about this. Jesus says, therefore you are to be perfect just as your heavenly Father is perfect. Where God is going with us, the good news, where God takes us is for us to actually be able to be just like Jesus Christ. And this guy was like, okay, I think I'm done for the day. I've just lots to process. It was the end of our study. What was interesting is from that point forward in that study, he and the stepdad took two totally different directions. The stepdad, absolutely no interest in whatever God said about salvation. The guy didn't want to win. The young guy, he said, I was thinking about this all week. Why wouldn't God be able to do this? He wanted victory. Those are the people that God is looking for. And so this verse is incredibly encouraging to me. You know, there are two mainstream approaches to Christianity. In our world, licentiousness is far and away the most common one. You do whatever you want to do, and thank God you're saved by His grace, and whatever, you know, your perseverance of the saints, once saved, always saved, you're going to make it in, and heaven will be good. And then there's legalism, which is focus on the externals, so at least you look righteous. Those are two mainstream approaches to Christianity. And then there's true Christianity with our willing participation. God is changing us from the very inside out to be just like Jesus Christ. That's an awesome message. I don't know about you guys prior to Christ and maybe early years in Christ and on this journey, but if there's one thing I hate to lose to the devil. No, if you care about holiness and righteousness, you want to take the devil on and you want to beat him. You don't want to be held captive by him to do his will. There is no other religion, I'll just use this term loosely, there's no other religion on the marketplace that even touches victory inside. Purification of the soul. All of the self-help stuff, habits, you can do this, you can change this. Nobody talks about righteousness because only true Christianity can produce righteousness within the human being. And so as we think about this tonight, just a couple big pictures. It isn't what you do. Notice, to the pure, all things are pure. To him who is defiled, nothing is pure. It isn't what you do, it's who you are. It isn't what you do, it's why you do it. Think about Jesus on the Sabbath. Did Jesus ever have to worry about breaking the Sabbath? I don't think he never had to think about it. His mission was exactly the same as the Father's. He saw somebody, withered hand. Is he willing to do good on the Sabbath? Absolutely. That's who God is. That's who Jesus is. He didn't have to think about whether or not he was going to break the Sabbath. Motives matter. Who you are dictates what you do. I'm going to be quick about this, but can anybody see these three cups? What's the outside of the cup? Anybody tell? Starbucks, okay? We won't talk about cleansing the outside of the cup. You know what I mean. Why am I spending money there? Okay, pure. Pure. Which one of these is pure? Is this pure water? Does anybody have any interest in taking a slug out of this? You don't know what I put in here. There's some remnants of, it's the first time I tried it, my girls told me to try it, iced brown sugar, oat milk shake. Anyways, shaken espresso, something like that. It was pretty good. Anybody want to try it now? There's some other stuff in here. Okay, just let you know, I put some other stuff in here. Nobody wants this, right? This isn't pure. This is defiled. Anybody want to take a sip? Anybody want to guess? I'll tell you, and this is the truth. I thought about just pretending because, like, this is really gross. But one of these is pure drinking water. One of these is from the toilet in the hotel room. I kid you not. I kid you not. Okay? I decided to just go through with it. I've tried to be sanitary the whole time. I didn't want to put it on the Lord's Supper table up here. But anybody want to take the chances? One of these is life-giving, one of these is disease-causing and can bring about death. I'm not taking my chance. I even wrote on, I know which one's which. I'm still not going to drink either of those. Okay. You know, and so you think about it, some real-life scenarios. Okay. These look the same externally. Somebody can take the Lord's Supper with a good conscience, having put thought into it ahead of time. How do I stimulate one another to love and good deeds? And it is a life-giving experience, the blood of Christ. Somebody else can come with a bad attitude. Those attitudes can be salvation issues, can't they? With a bad attitude and an agenda to actually be divisive in the body of Christ, and that same Lord's Supper, the same loaf and cup, the same juice and crackers, if you will, one of them is life-producing, and for the other person, it is eating and drinking judgment to themselves. It's not what you do, it's why you do it. Someone can give money to the church for the kingdom of God and be recognized by God for that, not their left hand not knowing what their right hand is doing. Actually, the scripture gives us the name of one of those guys, Barnabas. This guy gave everything for the church. Ananias and Sapphira also gave money to the church, didn't they? It was for a different reason. One, to the pure, all things are pure. To him who is defiled, nothing is pure. And so the real question that I want to get to today is, well, how do we become pure? Jesus purifies. I'm going to digress for one other thing. Some things are obvious. Non-Christian behavior, it's clearly not. One of these is a true Christian, this one. One of these, hypocrite. Externally, looks good. If there's defilement, though, I'll tell you what's in this one. I never did put any mud in here. It's actually some green tea thing that I stole off the thing and just stuffed in there. I would drink this. I won't drink this. Any defilement, though, keeps you from being pure. Some things are obvious. A number of years ago, my son Caleb, he was the extra challenge in our family. And he was about 2 years old. And I asked my dad and mom, they were coming through Billings. And I said, would you mind stopping over and, you know, just coaching us up a little bit? And there were two things that my dad encouraged us on. And one of them was, you know, Caleb doesn't do very well with screens. This is from talking about, like, TV type stuff. Okay. Caleb was he got too engrossed in those. So back that off was the suggestion. But the other, my dad asked me. He's like, well, he didn't ask me. You know him. He's like, the gist of it, the takeaway that I got is, if you are worried about looking good, Caleb sometimes made me look bad. I visited Assembly in Bozeman, and I literally remember taking that kid out and whomping him 7 times. Whose kid is that? The kids here have been amazing. I'm taking my kid, and you're hearing him in the hallway, you know. It's like, this is the preacher's kid? But what my dad's point was, he said, you have to do what's best for Caleb's eternal soul. The wisdom from above is pure, isn't it? If there's any other motive, if there's defilement, it will mess up what I am trying to do for Caleb. It's important, brethren, that we be pure as the Lord is pure. We all know now, I don't know if you guys want to test this, but we all know what's what. There are two people, two beings that know you. The Lord and you. And you know. So here's an amazing thing. The encouraging part to me, what I absolutely love about the new covenant, is that Jesus purifies us from the inside out. Any of these three cups can actually be put through a process and be completely purified. I don't know too much about this. Should know more because but I just looked up something really quick, and this article came up, from toilet to tap. I was like, that's perfect. That's exactly what I'm This is what my idea was. Thank you. So, from toilet, the big process is sewage treatment. I'm not going into that. That was my senior project in chemical engineering, and I don't remember anything about it, wastewater treatment. But then there's microfiltration, reverse osmosis, and UV disinfection. I want to talk about these a little bit. Big picture. There is a huge shift, brethren, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Go with me to the book of Haggai. Easiest to find Matthew and go backwards a little bit. Haggai chapter 2. My dad just preached on the Spirit. What's the Spirit's first name? Holy. I mean, yeah, you can. Jesus is another. Holy Spirit, right? The new covenant is called the ministry of the Spirit. The new covenant is a covenant of holiness. But let's check this out. Haggai chapter 2, verse 10. On the 24th of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest for a ruling. If a man carries holy meat in the fold of his garment, and touches bread with this fold, or cooked food, wine, oil, or any other food, will it become holy?" And the priest answered and said, "No." Then Haggai said, "If one who is unclean from a corpse touches any of these, will the latter become unclean?" And the priest answered and said, "It will become unclean." Let's just pause here. Do you guys understand what's going on here? In the Old Testament, if a priest, holy meat, man's carrying holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches something neutral, we'll say, does that neutral thing become clean or holy? No. But if one who's unclean from a corpse touches anything neutral, will that thing become unclean? Yes. Under the Old Testament, defilement, unholiness was transferred. Jump with me to Matthew chapter 8. And we see that play out in the Jewish people. Basically, it wasn't an evangelistic world for the Israelites. It was a hold the fort, build your fences as high as you can, and try not to be defiled. In Matthew chapter 8, interesting, beginning verse 1, when Jesus had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and bowed down to him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Jesus said to him, "So that you tell no one, but go show yourself to the priest and present the offering that Moses commanded for a testimony to them." Now, I find this particularly loving of Jesus. Here's a leper. I'm going to pick on you, Jared. This guy, how long has it been since this guy's been touched? Because what happens if somebody touches a leper? You become unclean. Unclean. So I don't, the love that Jesus shows, he could have just said, "You're clean." But he reached out and touched him. But here's a really cool thing. What happened? This guy became clean. Did Jesus have to go show himself to the priest? No. He said, "Go ahead and go show yourself to the priest. Get the clearance. You're clean." Under the new covenant, holiness is transferred. It's an awesome thing. The same Jesus, the woman who has a flow of blood, comes up and touches Jesus. "Hey, who touched me?" Under the old covenant, he's unclean. Under the new covenant, what happens to her? She's clean. This is the way that it works. It's amazing to me where Jesus is taking us under the new covenant. We can go anywhere, be around anyone, and holiness goes with us. Long story, but when a group of us in Billings were able to come back together a number of years ago and meeting out in the building at 48th and Central, and when we got back out there, Jared, Sue, you remember this, there was a sign outside the door, and it said, well, I'll tell you, the very first thing I did was rip this sign off. This sign said, No food or drink in the sanctuary. I'm like, I'm here. This is coming down. Now, the church in Billings, I would say to the saints and coffee spillers in Billings, if I was writing a letter to them, maybe we should have just changed some terminology. But the church building itself is not the sanctuary. We are the temple of the living God. The Spirit lives in us. We are the sanctuary. Where we go, holiness goes. A really neat thing in the Philippines. Brother Ramel, at San Juan, I think the congregation there is at Cabago. Anyways. Yeah, one of those tiny villages. For a number of years, they never had a church building. Now, they're non-instrumental Church of Christ background. And the concept of non-instrumental Church of Christ background is there is a time, a set time, a set place of worship. And that set time, that set place is usually in a church building. Well, they didn't have a church building. They're meeting under a tree, then they're meeting somebody's house. So actually, it was really helpful for them. It helped them get the actual true concept of New Testament worship. Because there was no building to complicate that with the traditions that go with it. Under the new covenant, we are the temple of the living God. Where we go, holiness goes. Now, there is some exhortations. I am trying to make this fast. I just want to hit the high points. I want to be convicted. I want the all part to apply to me, to the pure. All things are pure. I don't want the other part, to the defiled. Nothing is pure. The defiled, which one was which here? I am trying to be sanitary because this is gross. And it will gross everything else up. We don't want that. So we have a participation in this under the new covenant. God has given us of the Holy Spirit. Anybody talking about Mr. Wilson's message? Anybody thankful for the clean slate you had this morning? You woke up? Opportunity to write on this for the glory of God because of the renewing of the Spirit? What an awesome day. Anybody thankful for right now, this moment, clean slate from here forward the rest of the day? Yeah, awesome. The renewing of the Spirit in our life. He makes us holy, but we have a participation in this. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. One thing I have noticed, Mr. J. Wilson did a good job of establishing the indwelling Spirit. Scriptures always uses perfect terminology. When we talk about demons that are inside of somebody, what do we usually say? Demonic possession. When demons are inside of somebody, we say are possessed. Do we talk about Holy Spirit possession? No. Holy Spirit indwelling. The Holy Spirit is never going to work contrary to our participation. We don't become Christians and then God takes away our free will. Aren't you thankful for that? We get to have a part in this process. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all, there's that word again, from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, there are two things for the defiled. Both their mind and their conscience are defiled. When a person's immersed into Christ for the right reasons, what happens? 1 Peter 3:21. Immersion now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a clean conscience, a good conscience, right? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We get a good conscience. Let's say this is the world. When a person gets immersed into Christ, this thing, let's say, gets dumped. Okay? And then, what was that river, Mr. Wilson? The rivers of living water start working in that. But the main impurity is just dumped. Now, this also gets dumped. But even if we dumped this, is there still some, you just tell by the lid, still some things that's going to take some time to be purified. We can dump this, and I ain't drinking out of this. It's going to take some ongoing purification before it's clean. We have a participation in this. It starts with our immersion into Christ, and then the scripture encourages us, keep a good conscience. That means One of the things we do is if we sin, we confess our sins. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then we walk in the light. We make a commitment. Keep walking in the light. Keep it as necessary. Confess our sins. Walk in the light. Confess our sins. Walk. Important we keep a good conscience. I could preach on this for a long time. Okay? To process through what it means to have a good conscience. I'm just going to say that most of us, I think that if we've been immersed into Christ, we've hopefully fought our way through actually having a clean conscience. I was talking with somebody and they said, I've had to forgive myself. Yeah, that's true. It's an awesome thing to me that God says, I will be merciful to their iniquities and I will remember their sins no more. You know what that gives me freedom to do? Forgive and forget. It's an amazing thing. Okay? Hebrews 10 is beautiful about clean conscience, don't have time. The mind also is defiled, though. Now, the Holy Spirit renews us, but doesn't the Scripture also tell us that we have a responsibility? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so, I think about this in a big picture. We could say this, getting rid of the sludge, repentance, changing the worldview. And it's fun to see agnostics come to a recognition of who God is. Just the worldview change in the process is really fun to watch, isn't it? Like, everything starts changing as the sludge starts getting taken care of. But then, we're immersed into Christ. There is still, I'll just use this from toilet to tap, the microfiltration, changing the way we think. Oftentimes, we have very deeply ingrained thinking patterns, our habits, our behavior, and it's been over and over and over and over again. So, you know, it's really cool the way we understand the mind. God made our minds, sometimes we hear the word neuroplasticity, an ability to change neural pathways. Why did God do that for us? So we could recover well from strokes? That's a really cool thing. He did it for one reason, for the new creation. He did it so that we can change those thinking patterns, get new neural pathways. Many ways to go about this, I'll just say, grab what the Scripture says about who you are in the New Testament. Grab a hold of those and lean into them. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 is a good one just coming to me off the top of my head. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. There's just a little phrase. Hey, this is what the Scripture says, who I am. Grab a hold of that. Lock into it. Is God saying it's time for me to finish up? Okay. Then there's reverse osmosis, pushing the water under pressure through a semi-permeable membrane. Mr. J. Wilson was talking about sufferings. Scripture says, rejoice in tribulations. You know what? At some point, you can memorize. I'm a big advocate for reading, memorizing, praying. I'm going to come back and touch those really quick. But at some point, you got to do. I can read about cleaning my room all day long. I got to clean the room. How to make a bed, your bed in the morning. Actually, Julia might listen to this. I better. At some point, you got to do, right? So Rob O'Keefe was sharing with me. He's an electrical engineer. And now, Rob, I forgot the sentence description, but basically making sure that the grid for our city is up and running. And so there's some other guys that work with Rob, and he said they come out of school, they got their undergrad, then they get their master's or their PhD, and they're very smart people, but it's pretty narrow focus. The book learning said then they start working, and they start doing it, and things go wrong, and they got to come ask a question. How does this work? Guess what, guys? That's Christianity. That's life. We get a hold of this, we start doing it. Go for it. Oh, I just ran into this problem. Help. Get help. And God allows these things in our lives, the trials, tribulations, some from things that we've done and brought on ourselves, and some things, it's just, hey, this is an opportunity to grow from nothing that you've done that you deserve this for, but something that God's preparing you for to be able to do for Him. It's a really fun thing, actually. Reverse osmosis. Happy to suffer for the cause of Christ. There's a little saying I like, the game's the best teacher. Get in the game. The Lord will perfect you through this. And then there's ultraviolet disinfection. I think I heard somebody said there's some soccer players here. Anybody have been a soccer player? Raise your hand if you have been. A few of you in this room, soccer players? I never was a soccer player. I was a soccer player parent. It is an amazing thing. There's something about soccer cleats after you've played in the wet rain. A few of you are nodding your head. There's no other smell like this. The soccer, I kid you not, there's a very unique about soccer cleats after you've gotten wet, really wet, and the wet mixed with sweat smell. I'm not trying to be crude, but it smells like cat urine. I don't know how to say it. It smells like cat urine. So how do you get the smell out of soccer cleats? Burn them. I was looking at a bunch of different options. Trust me, I have a strong sniffer. It's not a blessing. But I actually was looking for UV things to stick into shoes. We went a different route, found something else that worked too. But ultraviolet disinfection, even wastewater treatment, all this is the final part of cleansing. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We've hit this. Mr. J. Wilson hit it last night, I believe. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Brother, I will encourage you. When you read your scriptures, look to see Jesus as he is. I like to read scripture and then pray through it, and I do best if I do a little journal. It keeps me awake and engaged and thinking about things from the scripture. But for the last year and a half, every single day, I close my prayer, and there's three words. Some of the words have changed, but one word every day that shows up at the bottom of my prayer is glory. And I do that, and I say, okay, I want to make sure that I saw the glory of God today as he's revealed himself in the Word. This is not just Jesus in the flesh. Jesus in the flesh is awesome. But Jesus in the flesh talks a lot about Jesus in glory. Actually, just read the Gospel of John. And not just Jesus raised from the dead. It is Jesus on the throne. We think about Jesus as king. We think about Jesus as Lord of Lords. We think about Jesus as high priest. We think about Jesus as Savior. He is sovereign. Amen? To see Jesus as he is from the scriptures, I want to encourage you. There is this light that's shining through. And I think about the light of Christ shining into me, that UV disinfecting, that UV cleansing, that's cleansing me from the inside out. There is nothing else in the world that can touch this. But the glory of the Lord changes us from the inside out. To the pure, all things are pure. So I want to read to see Jesus as he is. I want to pray in my prayers, seeing Jesus as he is. It would encourage you, really. If you think about the book of Hebrews, what's the picture of Jesus in the book of Hebrews? He's exactly a high priest, right? He's not on earth. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all. It is a picture of Jesus as he is on the throne. Pray, see him as he is. And here's the amazing thing. The Spirit does a tremendous work. Now, this toilet to tap business, they say the process works. The problem is it takes a lot of energy. A lot of energy is used to go through this process. So probably most of us aren't going to be taking water from the toilet and putting it through that process. Okay, that's what I'm going to drink tomorrow morning. We don't have the energy. We don't have the energy means for that process to take place within our homes. How much energy does it take to change what was defiled inside and turn us into the very likeness of Jesus Christ. That's an energy source way beyond what any of us have. Who does that? 2 Corinthians 3:18. Just as from the Lord, the Spirit. The Spirit is providing the energy. We have a responsibility to renew our minds. We have a responsibility to see Jesus as he is. The Spirit does the work. I want to close 1 John chapter 3. What time did I start, Marshall?
About 7:45.
Okay. So I'm doing good. I'm being fast. All right. I gotta think. I cannot think. I am the most singular one tracker you've ever met in your life. Where am I going? 1 John 3. 1 John 3. Verse 2 and 3. Beloved, now we are children of God. We've heard about that this weekend. Man, what a great love the Father has. Beloved, now we are children of God. It's not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him just as he is. There is that final transformation of this body into the body of glory, right? We shall be like him. We shall see him just as he is. But then he says this, verse 3, everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. This is the process. This is the new covenant. You want holiness? You want righteousness? You want victory? You want to be pure from the inside out in everything. Only true Christianity can bring that to you. Brethren, I love this camp. I talk to you. It's like, do you guys want the same things I want? I sometimes wonder, people I'm working with, it's like, and the question is, do they want this? A guy recently told me, he's like, Luke, for some reason I'm more afraid to be born again than I am to die. Like, I gotta think about that for a second. Doesn't have a clear enough picture of hell, but what he doesn't want the flesh to die. That's the problem. You want holiness? It is through Jesus Christ, the new covenant. It is awesome. So, can this cup be cleansed? Be dumped out? The rivers of living water in here? Purification? The light going? Gospel of the glory of Christ, cleansing this from the inside out. Somewhere the Starbucks stuff will wear off too. Can even this be cleansed? Same exact process. And this? Well, it's got to keep being cleansed, doesn't it? And the beautiful thing, guys, God's plan, I'm not going to do it. Just in case I messed up. God's plan is for this then to flow out. Under the new covenant, holiness is transferred. Where we go, where the rivers of living waters go, they bring life. It's not just so we can sit in this cup and look good. It's to flow out and to help purify others who want to be pure. Brother, it isn't what you do, but why you do it. It isn't what you do, it's who you are. God has an amazing plan. From the toilet to the tap. And it is beautiful. And he does it in us. And I'm thankful for that holiness in Christ Jesus. Just ask yourself, who are you? Who are you in Christ Jesus? Let's be pure just as he is pure. Thank you.